Jody Beal, you've just put out right here, right now, the Buffalo Anthology. It reminded me of late night in a family wedding when everybody's relaxed and the dinner jackets are off and the ties are loose and the women are moving around in their wedding dresses and brides and all of that stuff. And people start telling family stories, the good, the bad, and the ugly. Fair comparison?
Yes, I think that's a lovely comparison because I did want the book to have an intimate feel. I wanted it to feel like people getting together and telling the kinds of stories you don't tell on first meeting of someone. I wanted it to be stories that you unpack slowly as a night goes on and you start drinking a little more wine.
Not like a family wedding I was at a couple of years ago that turned into a full-scale brawl. Fortunately, the bride's family, not my family. But.
Well, I think this city is full of brawling, and I think there are a lot of conflicting ideas, and perhaps when we bring all the people who wrote pieces in it, if we were all to get together in a room somewhere, there could be a kind of brawl, only in that people have very, very different impressions and feelings about this city, and that's what I was hoping to try to encapsulate in a small book.
Well, going back to the wedding, the visiting relatives would be people like Eric Brady and Margaret Sullivan.
Yes, correct. People who've lived in the city and have loved it and hated it for all various deeply felt and deeply rooted reasons and have left and now realize that they miss it terribly.
How did you decide who would write for the book?
So the process was quite complicated. We did put out through the publisher an initial call for submissions, so it was a broad open call. And I sorted through those with the help of some co-editors. And then we looked at what was missing, and we thought about who could help tell some of those stories. And so I started pinpointing more directly different types of people who I thought whose voice I thought would be useful to the piece.
There are a couple people in here who somewhat expose the dirty laundry of the city, race relations, anti-Semitism in North Buffalo.
Exactly. So again, it's not an ode to Buffalo. It's not a hymn. It's not all the good side. I wanted it to be an honest look at the city that has serious issues. And so I asked, in some cases, I asked people to write specific directed pieces, but in many cases, these are the stories that these specific people chose to tell.
Any ones you turned down?
Yes, there are certainly stories that didn't make it into the anthology. Some were repetitive. Some are voices that we hear often. Stories that didn't add something, didn't create a new nuance, we decided not to use. There was a tremendous outpouring of poetry because there was some poetry included in the anthology. We had a tremendous response for poets, and I deeply regret that we can't have more poetry in the anthology. It just would not have worked according to the publisher's guidelines. But I originally did include more poetry, and some of it got cut.
Well, poets have something to say, too. I was at a public hearing the other day, and Carl Dennis, who's a Pulitzer Prize-winning poet and lives in the Elmwood Village, was there protesting a plan for a development project. So
correct.
Even poets get involved in the community.
Correct. And, of course, we have this amazingly vibrant poetry community in Buffalo. And so, again, some pieces are in the anthology, and sadly some were not included.
Any particular arrangement in the way the articles ran?
So that was also a big problem. Several weekends with pulling my hair out of my head, trying to think of how to possibly arrange this very kaleidoscopic look at the city. I created lists and categories and eventually came up with the chapters that are slightly artificial, but I think work well in the fabric of the book.
Now, you're a migrant to Buffalo, like a lot of people. Did you find out stuff in the book that you didn't know?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I had no idea who Bucky Phillips was when I started reading, and I got this piece, and I had no idea, so I had to do some research about who this escaped convict was that had the whole city and area up in arms.
I don't think some of my clothes are still clean from chasing around on the Bucky Phillips story in the mud of the Southern Tier, but, you know.
And I did. I was not here for the October storm. I missed that, although I knew about it. I was very excited to have a piece about that, which ended up being quite a sort of funny but also very poignant story about how storms bring people, these 20-somethings together to drink beer and play games. But there was a seriousness underneath it that I loved about that piece.
I did try to figure out if they put the beer outside or whether they just left it, and where they were living is there was no heat. When you teach at UB, do you have your students read this sort of thing or write journals about themselves? Or is this the kind of thing that young reporters can learn from?
Well, I do have my students. I teach various courses at UB. In my advanced writing class, which is a feature writing class, the very last assignment I give my students is a personal essay. And so I do want them to learn how to write in the third person, objective pieces of reported journalism, in long form journalism. I think the internet is too full maybe of self-absorbed stories that begin with I. So I hold off and I force them all semester not to write about themselves until the very end of the class, when I open it up to them and let them produce a personal story.
Are any of your students from Buffalo?
A lot of them are from Buffalo.
Did they produce stories that you'd like to do volume 2 of this anthology?
Well, interestingly, one of the pieces is from one of my former students. So Luke Hamill, who also helped me edit the piece, was one of my students. And it's actually one of my greatest achievements or moments of pride, I think, as a professor now, to be working as a colleague with someone who was my former student. I mean, I suppose it should make me feel old, but it really just makes me feel really proud.
You have children. How old?
So my kids are now 14. I have a 14-year-old son, and I have a 10-year-old daughter.
Did they read this?
They have heard about excerpts from it. I think they have not read the whole thing. As most kids, they are more interested in what they are doing than necessarily what all the work that I'm doing. But they will read it. They will read pieces of it, I think.
As long as you put it on their smartphones?
Right, exactly. They're waiting for the digital version.
Well, I was wondering whether they saw stuff in there or I can't believe it was like this sort of attitude.
I think they will. I think that certainly many people will read some of the stories, the historical pieces about, like Georgia Burnett writes about being poor and black in the 40s, living in Buffalo as a child. So that seems quite incomprehensible, the steel mills and that sort of thing. Dick Hirsch's piece about Lackawanna, right? For many people, that's not a Buffalo they know. So certainly,
the plant closed a long time ago.
Exactly. So yes, I think many of the pieces do recall a time in Buffalo's history that some of us, many of us newcomers, and even some people who live here now, feel like it, is in the distant past.
Is there one particular article or poem, or even some of the pictures that are in here, that you think people are going to say you shouldn't?
That I shouldn't have put in the book?
Yeah.
I hope not. I think that, again, this is a book about differences. It's a book about getting to know each other. So I actually hope that people will see stories that they don't recognize at all as their own, and it makes them think a little differently about Buffalo, because, again, everyone has a different perspective in this city. And I guess my hope in putting it together is that if you read someone's story, someone who you may pass on the street or someone you may meet in a grocery store or somewhere who you've never spoken to, all of a sudden you'll learn something new about that person and about your city.
The one thing that I found lacking in this a little bit is the new immigration to Buffalo. We've written a lot. Tom Dudzik talks about the Poles in Buffalo before he emigrated. But the Burmese, the Karens, the Bhutanese, the world that lives mostly on the west side.
It's interesting that you asked me that. I worked quite hard to try to find a refugee story, someone to tell the story. I ended up with Tyler Bagwell's story about the current refugee press that's happening. He works there as an graphic designer / reporter / everything person.
At Caribou.
At Caribou News, correct. And so he began talking about what Caribou News is now and then moved into talking about the history of Buffalo's news organizations, immigrant papers. And interestingly, in my journalism class this semester, one of my big focuses, both as an academic and as a journalist now, is the refugee crisis. And so I did have each of my students interview a refugee, So I had 25 students interview. Each of them interviewed a different refugee this semester, and we'll be putting on a show of our exhibits, of our pieces, in the spring.
You've been listening to Jody Beal, who's the editor of Right Here, Right Now, the Buffalo Anthology. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you so much for having me.
I'm Mike Desmond.